I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about FBI confirms, this is a story now, from the Clarion Project. It's a recent story. I mentioned it on the last program, that the FBI confirms jihadi training camps in America. FBI confirms jihadi training camps in America. Now, what's interesting about this is that you've also got this program called Bridges at work in the FBI, which we talked about in the last program. And the Bridges Project seems to be an identical parallel to what they're doing at Georgetown University with the Bridge Initiative, which is to effectively brainwash people in the Western world into thinking that there is no problem with Islam. The entire problem is that you have a condition called Islamophobia. You have an irrational fear or concern. Really, once you enter phobia in, we did the program on how the communists in the USSR used this kind of argumentation against their enemies politically. And so rather than taking people through a lengthy court trial, what they would do is they would claim that the people were mentally ill, and they would develop all of these mental illnesses, apparently, for anybody who disagreed with their political worldview. And that's effectively what's happening now through the left and the Democratic Party in the United States. They are ascribing to their enemies a mental illness, that the problem is because you don't agree with us on illegal immigration and things like gay rights and gay marriage and transgender bathroom laws, etc., you have all of these phobias. You have just a mental illness. You're mentally ill. And so this is the case now with Islam. People are mentally ill about Islam because they have a condition called Islamophobia. You are Islamophobic. It's not because Muslims are enslaving people or kidnapping girls, gang raping people, cutting people's heads off, lining up Christians out on the beaches, cutting their heads off and shouting Allah Akbar, etc. It's not that they're killing people virtually every day somewhere in the world on behalf of the global jihad. No, that is not the concern. The concern is that you have an irrational fear. You have a mental illness called Islamophobia, and that's what we need to deal with. We don't need to deal with Islam. We need to deal with your irrational response to Islam. And this program now has taken hold in the FBI. This is what Bridge, that's the program. It's called Bridge, or Bridges in the FBI. And they've got some Muslim woman who's the front person for it. And she's out there promoting proper education about Islam, helping people overcome all of the misunderstandings that have been engineered because of independent media and independent journalists and the internet, etc., posting videos of things that people say and do. Don't believe any of that. You just need to believe whatever they tell you. Now, right now, all of this just seems unreasonable and borders on being absurd. But the issue, brethren, just like what's going on with the LGBT movement, the foreshadowing of something worse down the line is the fact that, according to Front Page Mag and their article on this, they ultimately want to take Islamophobia into the judicial realm, into the realm of legislation, and they want to begin to find ways to punish people who are guilty of so-called Islamophobia. And the Democrats tried to do this back in 2015. but they were not in control of Congress, so they couldn't get it done, couldn't get it passed. They tried to pass a bill on it. They've done this up in Canada with their Motion 103, and they're apparently moving forward on that. But look at what they've done with the whole gay marriage issue, where if you're a private business owner and you're a Christian and you're not willing to make the gay wedding cake, you can be sued into bankruptcy. We've seen, and there have been a number of businesses across the country that have been punished for refusing to cooperate with the whole issue of gay marriage. Now they pass a law out in California where in certain circumstances, if you refuse to call some guy and address a woman in California, you can be put in prison for up to a year. Jail time for 1 year if you don't call some guy and address a woman. Same thing in New York, different law, but effectively you have to pay a $250,000 fine if you refuse to call some guy and address a woman up in New York. This is the direction they're moving with these things. This, brother and sister, believers, as Christians, you need to recognize this is a modern day manifestation of the Great Inquisition. That's basically what's happening. And the same people, this is why I think the Jesuit connection at Georgetown and the FBI is so significant, because remember, the Jesuits ran the Inquisition for the last 300 years of its history. And they're the ones who engineered social justice, socialism, and communism. They're the ones, they were a part of that whole process in the 19th century. It was believed they were working with Karl Marx. They were even kicked out of Germany for that by Otto von Bismarck. We talk about this in my audio CD, the two-disc CD, The Jesuits and Marxism, Weapon of the Counter-Reformation. This is what J.A. Wiley said about them back in 1881, that they were using communism as a weapon against countries that they were trying to control. So, what are they doing? The Inquisition, remember, brethren, the Inquisition effectively outlawed Christianity. They outlawed the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the preaching of the gospel, etc., and they replaced it with a man-made standard of right and wrong. And if you did not go along with that man-made standard, you were punished. And that's effectively what's happening in our country right now. They are removing the original standard of our Constitution and American law that's always been grounded in God's law and the Bible, all the way up through the 1960s. Then in the 1960s, they started to change it. And now they're replacing it with a completely different value system, with a foreign value system. And part of it now, it's becoming more and more clear, now the foreign value system that they're bringing in is Islam. And I think while as long as we've got President Trump in the White House, the Trump administration will probably resist most of this. I imagine. That's what I'm thinking. Certainly, having Trump as president right now is much, much better than it would have been having Hillary. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But here, the FBI confirming jihadi training camps in America. This, of course, is not really a newsflash. We know that because this has been reported for years. Even Sean Hannity on Fox, there's a video out there you can watch with Sean Hannity talking about this. So this is not really news. What's, I guess, news, according to the Clarion Project, is that now the FBI is willing to confirm it. Now they're willing to talk about it. So it says, quote, newly released FBI documents obtained by Clarion Project confirm Clarion's reports that Jamaat al-Fukra is training members in isolated communes across America and Canada. The group's Islamberg headquarters in upstate New York is its most well-known Islamic village. Now, all of this, really a lot of it, you will find talked about in the film Jihad in America, which you can find online. What I want to do is play an audio clip from Jihad in America. This is with journalist Steve Emerson. This is his film, and he is describing the activities of a youth camp, an Islamic youth camp in America, in some small town in America. And I want you to listen to what he says about it. But here it is. Listen.
Booty, 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 booty. Hey, hey, hey. A culture of violence has begun to spread to the next generation in the United States. These American Muslim children are attending a summer retreat in the Midwest. But this is not your typical summer camp. Here, the children are taught to praise armed struggle and terrorism. In this jihad chant, they are praising the leader of Hamas. This young camper just said, "Butcher the Jews."
Okay, so again, that is Steve Emerson. He's doing the narration there, and he's showing video of a youth camp. The kids in the youth camp look like they're anywhere from 8 to 12 years old. And the young boy who walks toward the camera, he's holding a stick, and he shakes the stick toward the camera and says in Arabic, "Butcher the Jews." He looks like he's maybe 10 years old or thereabout. Just so you understand. So it's a youth camp and they're all talking Arabic there. So the average U.S. citizen would have no idea what they're saying. And the only reason we know about this is because of Steve Emerson's rather brave reporting on the issue. This is said here that Jihad in America, which aired back in 1994, the documentary was made after the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Towers, because there was initially a truck bomb that the Muslims drove in there, the jihadis drove in there to try and blow up the World Trade Center. So that was the first attempt. Then the second attempt, of course, was 9/11 with the airplanes and so on. But these groups have been in the country for years, going back to the 1990s, probably even earlier than that. But as I've said before, I highly recommend Emerson's documentary. It's an excellent piece of work, very, very well documented. He's just showing you all this videotape evidence across the country of these Islamic groups, and they're in places that you would not expect. They're in the heartlands of America. They're in all of these little small towns in America. You know, we're getting ready to go next month to the Red River Bible Prophecy Conference. I'll be speaking there again this year. And up there, which is in Fargo, North Dakota, up in that small town, it is reported that they have been bringing in, importing all of these Islamic immigrants into this very traditional, almost Mayberry-type part of the country, where the people there are just wonderful people. They're small town people who believe in traditional American values, etc. But that's where they are taking all of these Islamic immigrants. They're taking them to places like that. That's just one example, but there's many others across the country. That's where they're taking them. And we have to recognize that this is not something that's just happening. There are people at work behind the scenes in government who want this to happen. And that is why I believe, I mean, especially when you start factoring in the Vatican and its promotion of Islam through Vatican II, and then you bring in the Jesuits and now the Jesuit program at the FBI. And I call it the Jesuit program at the FBI simply because it's remarkable that it seems to be an exact parallel. You know, what are the chances that they just came up with the same program that had virtually the same name? They're using the term bridge or bridges, etc. This is why we made the film Bridge to Babylon, folks, because a lot of it starts with the Bible and undermining the Word of God, which they've done. They've undermined. Of course, the Word of God is not bound and the Word of God cannot be undermined. We know that. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to our commercial break, and we will talk more when we come back right after this.
Battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors, but now Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about the story from the Clarion Project, how the FBI confirms jihadi training camps in America. And this is a recent story now. It's something that many of us have known about for years, but I find it very interesting that these are newly released FBI documents. Why have they been newly released? You know, it's almost like there's some kind of Hegelian dialectic going on within the government right now. Either that or you've got a struggle between patriotic forces in the FBI and then some members of the FBI who are part of some subversive element within the United States. We know that there is the deep state. We know that there are powers at work cooperating with the globalists, cooperating with the Marxist agenda in our country. And that's what I think this is. I think the attempt at bringing in Islam is just a weapon of the globalists against the free world. And we're seeing them do it across Western Europe, and they're doing it here in the United States. And in America, it's much more subdued. It's much more below the radar. But it is increasing a little bit at a time. I just find it remarkable that this FBI program, this Bridges program, has been launched through the FBI. It's just incredible that that this has reached the FBI. Georgetown University, not a big surprise for me that the Jesuits would be into this. That's not a huge surprise. A little bit surprising that the FBI would be promoting pro-Islamic propaganda. And since when is that their job? Since when is it the job of the FBI to be into propaganda and essentially identity politics to promote Islam in the United States? It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And clearly, there's something wrong with the Federal Bureau of Investigations right now. But of course, we've known that. We're watching what's going on with the FBI and the Trump administration, where they're doing everything they can to try and undermine the Trump presidency. But here's a story. I want to read part of this story. This is from Wired magazine, their online edition. This is from back in 2012. This is when Barack Obama was still in the White House, and the FBI director was Robert Mueller, you know, who's currently leading this investigation into the Russia collusion, the alleged Russia collusion, all this other kind of stuff. Well, back in 2012, Wired magazine reported, quote, FBI purges hundreds of terrorism documents in Islamophobia probe. Purges hundreds of documents in Islamophobia probe. And here's what it says, quote, an internal FBI investigation into its counterterrorism training has purged hundreds of bureau documents of instructional material about Muslims, some of which characterize them as prone to violence or terrorism. The Bureau disclosed initial findings from its months-long review during a meeting at FBI headquarters on Wednesday with several Arab and Muslim advocacy groups attended by Director Robert Mueller. So purging, apparently, or here's what it says. So far, the inquiry has uncovered and purged over 700 pages of documentation from approximately 300 presentations given to agents since 9/11, some of which were similar to briefings published by Danger Room last year, describing mainstream Muslims as violent. All right, you keep reading this article. The article goes on to say that basically what was going on in the FBI, and I'm summarizing here, that what was going on in the FBI, that when FBI agents were being trained about counterterrorism and how to spot terrorists and this kind of thing, they were essentially being taught that Islam, that the fundamental teachings of Islam, going back to Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, who founded Islam, that the fundamental teachings of Islam are essentially the philosophies of terrorism. And that the more devout a Muslim is, the more devoted that he or she is to the Prophet Muhammad and to the example of Muhammad and what Muhammad did, etc., the more devout they are, the more violent and the more radical they will become and the more dangerous. So this now has apparently been called Islamophobia, to have that view. And so Mueller goes in during the Obama administration. You can only imagine that this is all of the instigation of Obama and his cohorts. So Mueller goes in to purge the FBI of all of this teaching and training of FBI agents to recognize that, yes, Islamic terrorism is directly related to the teachings of Islam. So that's what this purge was about back in 2012, getting rid of all those materials that they're using to teach FBI agents how to recognize a potentially dangerous individual who might carry out a terrorist act on American soil. But here's what happens. You had Muslim leaders who were there, but then, let me read this. It says, quote, several civil rights advocates said they appreciated Mueller's personal attention. The Wednesday meeting had been scheduled by the FBI's public affairs arm, whose deputy assistant director briefed the groups for about 40 minutes before Mueller unexpectedly joined. Director Mueller, this is a quote now, Director Mueller acknowledged the seriousness of our concerns and expressed a commitment to maintaining contact with the interreligious community, says Reverend C. Welton Gaddy of the Interfaith Alliance, another attendee at the meeting. Reverend C. Welton Gaddy, you can go read about him. He is, they actually have him listed here on Huffington Post. He's the host of State of Belief. The Reverend Dr. C. Welton Gaddy is President Emeritus of Interfaith Alliance and Interfaith Alliance Foundation. Having led the national nonpartisan grassroots and educational organizations, etc., and served as the pastor for preaching and worship at Northminster Baptist Church in Monroe, Louisiana, before retiring in 2016. Welton is one of 20 international religious leaders on the Council of 100 Leaders, a group created by the World Economic Forum to improve dialogue and understanding between the Western and Islamic worlds. So here you have a former Baptist minister who's part of this interfaith alliance, and he's going there to the FBI. He is partly responsible You understand this, brethren? He is partly responsible for the fact that the FBI now is disassociating Islam from acts of terrorism, and he was there to try and get the FBI through Mueller to purge all of these materials, to get rid of anything that's going to teach FBI agents that Islam as a belief system somehow or other promotes violence and jihad and all this other kind of stuff. This is why many of us have come to believe, brethren, that the interfaith movement is not only a betrayal of the gospel, which it is, because these interfaith ministers, from what I have seen, if I'm wrong, please send me an email and show me. Send me an email. Send me a video. Show me where these interfaith pastors are calling Muslims to repent, turn away from the lies of Islam, and put their faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. If they're doing that, of course, we would applaud them. We would commend them, because then they will lead them to salvation. But of what value is it to bring the Muslims into our country, help them build their mosques, help them establish Islamic communities where they're carrying out Islamic prayer and simply finding a way to entrench themselves in our system so they can systematically begin to undermine it, which anybody who does a reasonable amount of research into Islam can figure out. This is what they're doing. The responsibility of Christian ministers is to call all men everywhere to repentance, saying, well, you've got to help them build their mosques and this kind of thing and all this other kind of stuff before you can witness to them with the gospel. Look at the example of the Apostle Paul. When he goes into Athens and he preaches on Mars Hill, he doesn't go help the pagans build some pagan temples and this kind of thing and then start telling them about Jesus. He gets on Mars Hill and he lets them know God commands that all men everywhere repent and put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. We'll have to stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.